Today's theme in both this morning's lesson and tonight's lesson are different, but we're both going to talk about the blessing of God's Word. This morning, we're going to talk about the journey of faith. And that's what the Bible is. It is a journey of faith. The life we live by faith, and we are guided to follow Jesus through His Word. But we're going to be looking at what I call the OB of the Bible. The OB of the Bible. We love to shorten everything, right? Long names, we have nicknames, or we shorten the name Michael to Mike, right? Jeffrey to Jeff. Well, I call this the OB of the Bible. What is the OB of the Bible? We're going to talk about the obstacles and the benefits of the Bible. As we go through life, there are all sorts of benefits that we're looking for, that we're working towards. But a lot of times those benefits are only achieved when we overcome the obstacles in our way. Maybe think about it this way. It's time, right, to make that New Year's resolution and to go to the gym, right? All right, so it's a new year. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to start working out. Because there's lots of benefits to that, right? Get healthier, start feeling better, maybe drop a few pounds. I myself just recently joined a gym here in Brea, and I have to wear this jacket so you don't see my big muscles. You know, I'm trying to hide those from you. But, you know, there's so many benefits to, you know, join a gym. But a lot of times what happens is we join and we use it for a month and then we don't go back. Why is that? Well, because there's also obstacles. And you won't get the benefit of working out, whether it be, you know, pumping iron or running a treadmill, whatever is your thing, unless you overcome those obstacles. Just the thought of all the pain and the agony you have to go through to get those benefits. Taking the time from something else and going to work out. And maybe sometimes we don't like going out to the public gym because we think, you know, we stand out like a sore thumb in that gym. Whatever be the obstacle, we have to overcome those in order to receive the benefits of that. Well, it's the same way with our journey of faith. There is tremendous benefits that we achieve not only in the life to come, especially in the life to come, but in this life as well. But there's also obstacles that stand in our way of achieving those. Well, let's talk about one particular benefit that our journey of faith through God's Word gives us, and that is that we are truly able to glorify God. I think that's one of the things that there's a lot of people that believe in Christ, that go to church, but they don't understand that the whole responsibility, the whole thing that God is calling us to do in our lives and our journey of faith is to glorify Him. Let's take a look at some passages here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 31. There the Apostle Paul writes these words. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Paul says, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Other place he says, whatever word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Look at, as well in 1 Corinthians, same book, but look at chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You have been bought with a price. And therefore, what? Glorify God in your body. And so we have this tremendous benefit that we can actually glorify God. As I take my journey of faith, I can actually glorify God. And what a great benefit that is. And one of the ways we do this, one of the ways we please God and we glorify Him, is by exemplifying His traits. We become like Him. We become like His Son. For example, look at Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 16. Matthew 5 and verse 16. There Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You see how all that works? People of the world do all sorts of things so that men will see their works and will glorify them. They will glorify them. They will receive the accolades of men. But that is not our journey in our life. That is not the journey of faith. We let our light shine. We let our deeds be seen so that men may see them and glorify God. And that's the wonderful benefit, that not only can we, by our actions, glorify God, but we can cause others to glorify God. I think about the power of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, of the woman and her example. Peter says that a wife, by just her mere actions, her mere example, can convert an unbelieving husband. Do we live such a life that not only glorifies God, but that causes others to glorify Him? That is not an easy task in the day and age we live in. It is a challenge. But it's something that can be accomplished if we work at it. If we really want that benefit. Look, if you would, at Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 20. Philippians 1 and in verse 20, where Paul writes, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put ashamed in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now as always," what? "Be exalted in my body." And look, "whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That Christ would be exalted in His body, whether living or in death. Is that the attitude that we have? What a tremendous benefit. The very thing that God created us for, that He could have fellowship with us, that we could glorify Him. But in order to achieve that benefit, we have to be noticed. We have to recognize, and we have to fight through that obstacle that is in our way. And what is that obstacle? Well, a very big obstacle to this benefit is pride. The worship of self. We talked a little bit about this in our Bible class, didn't we? People wanting to be gods or act like gods, that they get to make the rules. No one gets to tell them what to do. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, we realize what a tremendous benefit it is that God is calling us to live in such a way, to transform our lives, that we can glorify Him. And that's the dangerous balance. That's the line that is so tempting, to where we start glorifying ourselves. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not put on this earth so that we can just fill our life with all sorts of fun and games and everything that we enjoy. And that's the problem that sometimes people say, well, I want to do this. It makes me happy. I don't care what people think. And what they really are saying is, I don't care what God thinks. You see, that's the challenge of being a Christian, is to enjoy the things of this world and yet to be able to glorify God. We have to be able to do those things that glorify God in this world. James says in James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, very simple, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil. No matter what we do in this world, this is the pattern. This is the journey that we need to take to achieve that wonderful benefit of glorifying God with our lives. Well, let's talk about another benefit that God's Word, our journey through faith with God's Word, and that is that we get to experience God's peace. There are some people I've met that live a life in turmoil. They want nothing more than to have some peace in their life. Sometimes living the life of a Christian, doing the right thing, can be a life of struggle, a life of challenge. But we can still go through trials and struggles for doing the right thing, as we've talked about recently, and still have God's peace. It's one of the great benefits of being a Christian, of having this journey of faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's take a look at what Paul writes in verse 14 through 16. Look at what he says. He says, "For he himself is our peace." Just quickly, I want to ask, is that a statement we can say of the life that we're living, our journey in faith? That Christ is our peace. He is our peace, who made both groups into one, who broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in the flesh the enmity, which is the law, the commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. And that he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. Now, Paul in this context obviously is talking about where God took Jews and Gentiles who were separated by the law of Moses, and he abolished that separation and united them in Christ. But in the same principle, he can be our peace by abolishing those things that separate us from the love of Christ. We can have peace because we are in Christ Jesus, united with Him. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Also, turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John. John 16 and in verse 33. John 16, verse 33. There, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." What a great benefit to the Word of God. That no matter the tribulation in the world, no matter what happens to us, we have the knowledge of God's peace, the knowledge that no one can take away, the most precious thing that we have. And that is the soul, the salvation of our soul, that soul that God has promised to protect. No man can do anything to us that will affect. And brothers in Christ, that should just bring us an outpouring of peace upon us. A peace that may even surpass our human comprehension. Let me illustrate this by a story about Neil Pollard. You don't know Neil Pollard, but Neil Pollard should really be living as an adult. And he tells the story as a child that he was outside playing with his friends. He did not feel ill or sick. He was feeling quite well the days and the weeks prior to this. But he was out playing with his friends, and I don't remember what they were playing. But all of a sudden, a ball from his friend came and hit him in the stomach. And he dropped to the ground. And he felt pain and he lost his breath. Now, you probably all have experienced that at one time, getting hit in the stomach with something, and what happens? Well, you do feel pain. And you do lose your breath, but eventually you regain your breath, and eventually the pain subsides, and you're able to go on your way. Well, for Neil, that wasn't true. The pain didn't subside, it continued. His breath didn't come back to him. And so his parents were alerted, and they, of course, as any good parents, ran him to the emergency room. And doctors at first, as so often is the case, they thought, you know, there's nothing to worry about, but we'll run some tests. And what they found is that little Neil had what appeared to be a malignant tumor in his intestines. And it needed emergency surgery. And so they ran him to the hospital preparing to operate to see if they could remove this tumor. And the doctor came into the room and talked to the parents, Neil. Let them know that there was no guarantee here. But there was a good chance that he would not survive this. And if he did survive, that they may not be able to get all the cancer out. You talk about turmoil. You talk about wanting peace. What would you do with such news like that? Well, it may be hard to believe, but we could have peace. The peace that is found in Jesus Christ. And so the operation was performed, and the doctors came in and told them the good news. The operation was successful. They removed the tumor, and though it needed a biopsy, it appeared to the doctor to be benign, non-malignant. And Neil made a full recovery, but when the doctor came in and told that good news, it was the opposite of Job, who one after another kept telling him about terrible things. The loss of his servants, the loss of his flocks, the loss of his children. It was the opposite. When he came in and told them the surgery was successful, they were overcome with a great feeling of peace. And that's like us, knowing that sin and death has no impact on us. It's an incredible blessing that we have, that through God's Word, through our journey of faith, we can have that peaceful feeling from God. But sometimes there's obstacles. There is an obstacle to having that peace. And maybe you're here today and maybe saying, you know, I don't feel that feeling of peace. I don't quite grasp that. Well, maybe there's an obstacle in your way that's keeping you from that. Maybe there is this obstacle of what? A worldly life. And as Christians, we can be in danger of that. That our spiritual life becomes nothing more than a habit. We know the right things to say. We know the right things to do. But there's no heart in that. There's no feeling in that. that maybe there's things in our past, maybe there's things of the world that we're holding on to that keep us from truly understanding the peace of God. James writes in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. In fact, I want to turn that. I don't have the whole passage up here. James chapter 1, and beginning verse 5. James 1, verse 5. James says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." You see, brother and sister in Christ, we can't be a Christian that doesn't truly believe in God's promises. A Christian that asks but doubts. A Christian that may obey some of the times, but other times find it easier not to obey. James says, let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You've got to overcome that worldly life. We need to let God and His Word transform us. And that means letting go of some of those things in this world that keep us from really living the journey of faith that we need to. We need to be like Neil's parents and let God's words be words of peace and words of comfort. For our soul is saved in Christ Jesus. Let's talk about a third benefit. And that is enjoying the presence of God. What do you think about that? Let's look at some passages. Let's look at Psalm 16, which interestingly is the resurrection psalm. It is the messianic psalm. It's the one verse that indicates, that points of the resurrection of the Messiah. But in verse 11, in that same psalm, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence," he says, "is the fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever." I want you to notice the parallelisms. You have the fullness of joy that comes in the presence of God. You have the pleasures forever, which are in God's right hand. And so what? What's the connection? The very first line, to let God make known the path of life for you. We're using a different term for path of life. We're using that journey of faith. How do we enjoy the presence of... There's a lot that can be said, but in essence, I believe if we understand, if we work towards those first two benefits, that we enjoy His presence by what? Glorifying Him. By experiencing His peace, we will be filled up with the fullness of Him. For example, in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 19, look at what Paul writes in Ephesians 3 and in verse 19. "And that you know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." If you're filled up with the fullness of God, you're enjoying His presence. And just a little aside for those that were in Bible class, and we talked about Gnosticism and how they were not saying that Christ is all that you need. Notice again in Ephesians, hear those words, that we'd be filled up to all the fullness of God. He is the full God. He is the self-sufficient Christ. Let's look as well at Jude. When's the last time you've been in the book of Jude? Well, let's go over to Jude, and we're going to look at verse 24. Jude, verse 24, the book right before Revelation. In Jude 24, Jude writes this: "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy." You know, a lot of the passages that talk about the presence of God are talking about, you know, in the future, that heavenly home. But there's a real sense that there is God's presence here with us. Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, what did he say to his apostles? Remember, he said, "I will not take this again until I take it with you in my Father's kingdom." Well, the next time they did that was in the church. And I think that's one of those benefits, one of those blessings that it's hard to really grasp and to feel that God is with us. His presence. It's not something we can see. If it was, I would imagine most people think he sits in the front because nobody wants to take a seat. It's not something you can feel. It's something by faith, but God's presence is there with us. We are what? We are his temple. He dwells in us. And so, maybe it takes a little more faith, a little more work to enjoy this benefit, to truly understand that he is not so far away. His presence is with us. But I'll tell you what, it is well worth that extra work to enjoy this benefit. But of course, as always, there's an obstacle to it. An obstacle that would keep us from that benefit. And that is, I could see, emphasizing the letter while ignoring the Spirit. I want to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, I don't have the whole passage up here. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read verse 3, 4, and 5. I want you to notice as Paul plays off of this idea of the letter and the Spirit. But look at what he says to these Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. "And being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God." You know, in the book of Romans, again, the problem of adhering to the law of Moses, the problem the Pharisees had, that they emphasized simply the letter of the law. It was all about the letter of the law, and that they ignored the Spirit of the law. And Paul uses those terms about the letter of the law and the Spirit of the law. And he says the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit of the law gives life. And I think so many people take that out of context and they misunderstand that Paul is not saying get rid of the letter of the law and only adhere to the Spirit of the law. And that's what so many are teaching today. No, Paul's saying you've got to have that letter of the law. Jesus Christ himself said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." We can't throw that away. But by the same standard as we talk about the letter of law, not the law of Moses, but the letter of the law of Christ, there's a letter to that. There are commands and statutes that we have to adhere to, that we have to glorify God in our obedience to that. We can't just throw that away. But what he is talking about is don't just become that harsh, legalitarian that just micromanages everybody. But remember the spirit of the law as well, of kindness and compassion and gentleness. There are some debaters of our age that are really good at debate when it comes to the spirit or the letter of the law. But they're not very good at debate when it comes to the spirit of the law. And what I mean by that is what? They're really good at making their points and looking at their opponent and making them look foolish and taking their points and so forth and try and tear them apart. But they have forgotten that if your opponent is that weak, then does that make you really that strong? If their argument is that weak, then how strong is your argument? No, the true debater is the one that shows how strong this other argument is. And even though how strong it is, it does not stand to my argument, the truthful argument. That's where both have merit. We must not let this obstacle where we have one without the other, or become like a Pharisee and forget the weightier matters of the law. If all we're looking at is the command, the command, the command, and forgetting about the compassion and the love and the gentleness and the kindness, then we're not going to enjoy the presence of God. Because Jesus Christ Himself, the presence of God, has both the letter and the spirit to perfection. And so as we journey through this life, as we follow Jesus Christ through His Word, there are some great benefits to God's Word. I'm hoping you're enjoying those. But perhaps you're not. Perhaps these obstacles are in your way. You see, brothers in Christ, in order to receive all the benefits of working out, going to that gym, making that hard-earned money count that paid for that membership, you've got to be willing to overcome all the obstacles that tell you, yeah, don't go. There's a great benefit to working out physically. Just like there's a great benefit to working out spiritually. And so we ask, is there one here this morning that needs to renew their membership in God's gym? That needs to start working on their faith more seriously? Maybe 2018 is going to be your year. That you're going to take that next step of faith. That you're going to do something that you haven't done for Christ before. You're going to muster the strength, the confidence, and you're going to be committed to it. Now, there's going to be obstacles to it. I'll tell you what. If you overcome those obstacles, you're going to see the benefit. You're going to see the increasing of your faith. And we're going to see the benefits right here in this congregation. Because that's how a congregation grows. Each member supplying what they can supply and increasing in that. Increasing. What did Paul say to Thessalonians? I see you love the brethren. Excel even more. But maybe someone needs some help in their workout, in their journey of faith. If we can help you in your journey of faith to be more like Christ, whether it be being baptized into Him, or to pray with you, or to study with you, won't you renew that membership in Christ's gym today as together we stand and as we sing.